welcome you to, as far as the non-essential liturgical days, today and tomorrow are my two favorite in the church's calendar. November the 1st, the church has historically remembered that we, as the body of Christ, are all saints. We're not categorized. All of us under the grace of Jesus Christ are declared saints, and all of us, both here on earth and in heaven, are alive in Christ and one. And we celebrate that on November the 1st, All Saints Day. We'll recognize that next week as we remember the names that you've submitted and can still submit. And today we celebrate and recognize the church's reminder that the reason we are saints is not based on that which we did, but based solely on that which Christ Jesus did for all of us. And we thank God for those that have reminded the church of that. And hopefully we'll do that as well today. A couple announcements before we begin our worship. We do have at 2 o'clock today, we moved it to a time that is during the daylight and gotten good feedback that that's going to work well. 2 o'clock in the sanctuary here, we will have Dave Dietrich making a presentation as in the form of a first-person monologue, looking, and if you've seen him do it before, it's quite informative, entertaining, and well worth your time. So I'd encourage you to come today at 2 p.m. Also next Sunday, besides the All Saints Day celebration that we'll have, we are beginning our fellowship time. Beginning at 9:15 in the morning in the fellowship hall, we will have a time for coffee and pastries, just a time to get to know one another. It's important that we know those whom we worship with, so we truly are worshiping as one. So I'm really excited to be able to reach a place in this journey through the pandemic that we can do that again. It will be coffee. The emphasis is fellowship. So if you're starving, eat before you come. It's not going to be a meal. The emphasis is on fellowship. It'll be coffee, and we'll just have some light pastries. The church will provide those, but what the church can't provide is someone to sort of set it out and then take it down. It won't take long, but we need volunteers. And I have told Carolyn that she will not do it every Sunday. And so that means there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the narthex for you to take a Sunday. And the way we'll do it, if it's okay, is if when I see the sheet, if on the Sundays that someone's taking that Sunday, we'll do it. And if somebody doesn't take the Sunday, I guess you can show up, but there won't be coffee and pastries. So, but I think it'll work out fine. And I'll plug in the coffee every Sunday, so at least have coffee. Cream and sugar might not be there, but we'll have coffee. And then finally, the last announcement I have is that Carolyn wanted me to let you know that if you're interested in the booster shot of any of the three vaccinations, they have that at Walmart on Timberlake Road. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. One that is not on there that I'd like to give. I didn't hear of it until late last night. Many of you remember Liz Royer. Before the pandemic, she sang in our choir. You may remember last Thanksgiving, Liz's husband, who was in his 90s, but very active, was taking a walk after the Thanksgiving meal, and he was hit as walking and was killed on Thanksgiving Day last year. Well, yesterday, Liz's great-grandson was born stillborn. And I was talking to Liz last night. She had just finished making a quilt for her great-grandson the day before. His name is Grayson Lee. She just said he had a full head of hair, but the mother's name is Megan. I don't know the father's name, but let's just keep Liz Royer and her granddaughter and entire family in prayer. Are there others besides those that are listed, or if you want to highlight any of these, other prayer requests this morning? Yes, sir, Wayne.
We got a friend of mine that's got hospice over his house, man. He just needs some prayers to go ahead and pass and with everything real pain.
What's his
name? His name is Larry Lewis.
Larry Lewis.
And his family, they've been kind of expecting it. But and I didn't get a word this morning as to whether he passed during the night or not. But they were expecting to go in time. So just be
let's keep family. The whole Lewis family in our prayers. Anyone else? We have her on the sheet, and she was feeling better, but Webb told me this morning that Carrie was having some more vertigo this morning. So let's keep Carrie in our prayers as well. And then also ask David Kinzer, you'll see, about the fourth one down, his friend John Thornton that we heard about this week. No word yet, but let's continue to keep John and family in our prayers. Any other items? Yes, sir, Will.
He's going to be mad at me, but let's keep Robert in our prayers.
Let's keep Robert in our prayers. Always. And may Robert know we love him and support him. And if he'll let us be there for him, we will be. So thank you, Will. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, the truth of the gospel is that because of your love and the provision of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we are one in you. And we thank you in a world that is truly difficult. Short and full of trouble. So often unfair. Difficult at best. Infuriating at worst. And can be very lonely. We know and we hold tightly to the fact that you love us. And you have made us yours in Him. We thank you that the yours is plural, that it's not just me and Jesus, but it's us and this bridegroom that gave his life for a bride who was not worthy of his attention, but much like Hosea, you loved us yet, you redeemed us, and you hold us. We thank you for your pure grace. We thank you for your eternal, the security of your promise. We thank you also as we think of our family, that you'd be with those that are hurting. We pray that you'll draw close to Liz right now and to Megan and all the family. We thank you for just the comfort of knowing that you hold all in your hands, especially the little ones. But draw close. Give comfort and strength. I pray on the other end of life spectrum that you would be with Larry and his family. We just pray that as he is walking what looks like maybe the final stages of his life, that you will give comfort and strength. Be with John Thornton. May he receive healing and be brought back to strength, if it be your will. We pray for John's signs. We just pray that you'll bless them. We also pray that you would be with Carrie. May this vertigo subside and just continue to give wisdom to the doctors. We thank you for a place of honesty where we do not need to pretend or fake. We can be real and transparent and open, for we stand in grace. We know that you freely love us, so we can freely be open. So we do bring our brother Robert to the center of our prayers. We thank you for him. We love him. We admire him and encourage him. and pray that your grace would shower upon him. We just thank you that you would be with the different activities of the day, that all that we do will be to your glory, that we would draw closer in all to you and to each other. Give safety to those that are traveling, and give safety to those who go out and have different activities this evening. May it be a night of safety and wholesomeness in the midst of competing voices. We thank you again that as one we can gather in to this precious activity afforded to us only through Jesus Christ. And we pray in his holy name. Amen. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to this wonderful Psalm 46. We will use this in its entirety as our call to worship. Responsibly, then we will stand and with vibrancy sing A Mighty Fortress as our God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Thank you.
listen now on the reading of Scripture for the Word and the wisdom of God. The first reading is from Revelation 14, 6 through 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." The word of the Lord.
Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in need, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. We thank you, our Father, for making us one in Christ. And as one body, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading for today is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are fixed on him. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. May we see him and him alone. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I often have a dream that I get up to preach in this dream, and my sermon notes have been left somewhere, and I panic. And I know that I can sing loud and 99% of the time off key, but whoever took my music out of the bulletin, you didn't have to go to that extreme. Though it was my wife that sorted the bulletin, so maybe she's trying to give me a subtle hint. Wouldn't be bad, but they keep changing the versions of the hymn, so I have to keep learning it. But God sees the heart. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, what a day of grace that you have given us. We come to hear your word. We would see Jesus and him alone, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Put on your historical thinking cap. Watching news and going back to high school and college history and just your reading, I want to ask a question. Who was the worst dictator that ever lived? Hitler? Genghis Khan? Stalin? Idi Amin? Mussolini? Pol Pot? Saddam Hussein? Who was the worst dictator? Who terrorized us the most with their complete and total control? If we look through the history of mankind, I'm going to say that the greatest tyrant is not on the list that I just gave you. I'm going to say that the worst, the most totalitarian, wicked taskmaster that has haunted this planet is sin. Sin is the worst dictator. Jesus says in our text that Jen read from the gospel that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Paul reminds us of the same. He says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. "Do you not know," Paul would say, "that those whom you seek to obey, you are slaves to?" Now, we hate this truth. Pharisees, we don't like what Jesus is saying to them. Richard Rohr, who's a great thinker, I don't agree with everything he says, but like most provocative thinkers, he makes you think. And he says there's two ways of being a prophet. One is to tell the enslaved they can be free. It's a difficult path of Moses. The second is to tell those who think they are free that in fact they're enslaved. This is the even more difficult path of Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene in our gospel reading this morning and tells these Pharisees that they are enslaved, that they have a dictator, they have a tyrant that they are in full bondage to. And if you look in verse 33, they make a statement that's somewhat delusional. They say to Jesus, "We have never been in bondage." Really? If you go quickly through the Old Testament, they've never been in bondage? What about the Egyptians? What about the Assyrians? What about the Philistines? What about the Babylonians? What about the Persians? And even when they said it, they were in the grip of Rome. So they're deluding themselves and thinking, oh, we're free. We do the same, don't we? Like little children playing make-believe, we claim we have freedom. And the irony is, as we see in Scripture and as we see in our lives, the irony is we think we're expressing our freedom when we sin. Mama and Daddy tell us we can't do something, so I'm going to show that I'm free and I'm going to do it anyway. So somehow we're deluded in thinking we're most free when we're acting most sinful. Where the Word would say, no, you're not. You're more enslaved as you obey sin. It reminds me of in high school, I went to a small Christian college or high school that had some real strict rules. We couldn't wear jeans. We had to wear shirts that had collars. We had to keep our hair certain lengths. I mean, it was quite strict. They told us a lot of rules. They told us what we could watch on TV. They told us we could watch Happy Days, and I'm not exaggerating, but we were told that we couldn't watch an intro because hearing Bill Haley and the Comet sing Rock Around the Clock was sinful. We could watch the show, but we were told we couldn't listen to the intro. We were told what music we could watch or listen to. We were told what movies we could go to. There were lots of rules at the high school I went. And one guy, not really a friend, but a colleague, he declared one Friday afternoon, we were in 11th grade, 12th grade maybe, he said, "Well, you won't see me anymore." And we said, "Oh." He said, "Yeah, I'm tired of these rules." "Oh, how are you going to get up?" "I've gone and I've enlisted in the Marines." Now, we know that's ignorant. But brothers and sisters, before we throw stones at him, don't we do the same thing? Don't we sometimes, in this delusion that we're free, believing the lie of the father of all lies, we deny our radical sin and darkness, and we hold to this delusion that everyone's basically good, and if I'm honest and you press me, I'm hoping that I'm just a wee bit better than average, so that when it balances out, it'll be okay. Really? We're staking eternity on it? Like my grandmother used to say when she would see people in public dressed in peculiar ways, she'd just look and say, "Well, obviously they don't have a mirror in their house." Well, brothers and sisters, do we have a mirror? For me to say, and this is why hypocrisy is not only sickening, it's just delusional. For me to say that I'm without sin, to me to say that I'm free, and the way I express my freedom is doing what I choose and please to do, for me to flaunt that which is the truth and my declaring that I've never been in bondage is a lie. And the gospel that comes to us in the words of Jesus is that once we see ourselves truly as sinners, then we're opened up to the real truth. For the real truth is not my authentic behavior. The real truth is Jesus Christ. He goes on, he'll say six chapters later in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the embodiment of truth. That's the craziness of Pilate within 2 feet of Jesus saying, "What is truth?" He's in the presence of the eternal truth embodied in Jesus Christ, and it's not recognized because of that delusion. But Jesus not only embodies truth, he came to bear witness to the truth. And our only true freedom, as we read in this passage today, is as we stay, abide, remain with this word. But let me quickly say, we will continue. But again, it's delusional to think that we're going to continue with the word because we're obedient servants. If it was up to your obedience, and that's a problem I have with people that say that you can sort of sin your way out of your salvation. Because if you could sort of sin your way out of your salvation, guess how many wouldn't keep it? If it was dependent and contingent upon me as a servant, obeying properly, no one would keep it. But what we see in this passage is we don't abide and remain because we're obedient as servants. We abide and remain because we're born as sons. We're born as sons. You can ask my mother, but she's gracious, so you can use your imagination. And I can guarantee you that in 59 years of living, that I've often done things that were embarrassments to my parents. I've probably violated their expectations. I've probably made them mad. I've probably disappointed them. I've probably grieved them. Because I'm like you, I'm a human. And I guarantee you, you are the same with your parents. But one thing I've never not been is a son. For that is not contingent upon my obedience. It's contingent upon the will of my parents who birthed me. And what we see here is that the truth of the matter is we don't have to pretend that we're obedient servants because we're born children. And we have the authority to be the children, John 1:12 would tell us, not by our will, but by His will. He made us children. Because of that, we have precious security. Let me illustrate this as Paul does in Galatians 4. Turn with me to Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, for he argues with the same argument that Luther argued with at the time of the Reformation, and the same argument we're arguing with, and it's always the constant battle that we want to take grace and add something to the grace. They're called Judaizers in the day of Paul. They said, that's fine, you want to believe in Jesus, go right ahead, but you still need to keep the moral law. You still need to keep this ceremonial law. You still need to keep certain aspects of the law. And Paul says that as soon as you would add anything to Jesus and the gospel, you're amiss. It's not Christ and anything, it's Christ alone. Or solo Christus. And he illustrates that in verses 21 of chapter 4. He uses two children. Let's begin in verse 21 of Galatians 4. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically, or we may say figuratively. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai. And what is it we got from Mount Sinai? The law. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of desolation will be more than those who have a husband. He's quoting there from Isaiah 54. And Isaiah 54 follows Isaiah 53. And what is Isaiah 53? That beautiful passage that by his stripes we have been healed. And through his finished work, we now in our barrenness can rejoice in the promise. Verse 28. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. Those that would preach the law, those that would Judaize today, they are persecuting the children. So it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. But here's the gospel, brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. That's our hope. Now, we could continue if you want. You can continue to look to the law, to Mount Sinai. If you want to go that path, you can continue to delude yourself that you can keep it. But I would suggest to you that it's far better to be a son than to be a servant. I would also suggest to you, though it's not written here, you remember when Abraham is tested by God in Genesis 22. Because Paul is gracious and generous and says Abraham had two sons, one born of law, flesh, and one born of spirit, promise. Paul says he has two sons, and in a way he did. But in God's sight, do you remember what God says to Abraham in Genesis 22? Abraham, go and take your son, your only son. See, God sees his own. As Jesus will say in two chapters, I know my sheep. They hear my voice. They know my voice, and I know their voice. We are adopted as sons. That's a phrase Paul uses five times, and it happens in two phases. You've experienced one of them. The first phase we read about is when you had your soul raised to new life. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you've been resurrected. All of us who are children, we've had that one. But we struggle because we haven't had the second one yet. The second phase of that is when our bodies will be raised to glorious life. But it's a struggle in between the two, isn't it? We walk continuously with all this going on in life. As I was talking to a lady last night who's experienced a couple tragedies, she honestly said, it's not fair. And I didn't try to convince her that it was. I didn't try to build a case to defend God's integrity, that God is good. The truth of the matter, it is unfair. The truth of the matter is this life is difficult. The truth of the matter is we walk. And we walk not able to understand. We see dimly. But we can hear, can't we? And we can hear this promise. And we cling to that promise. And we believe that promise. Let me read one further passage, and we'll close. Turn to Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2, we're given a comfort. As we walk through this difficult life, it can be confusing, it can be lonely. It can be painful. And we are tempted to either believe a delusion that might look good and feel temporarily comfortable, or we can be honest and say it's a tough path. But we don't walk it alone. We read the promise given in Psalm 23 that yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's not just physical death, that's, it could be interpreted, yea, though you walk through this valley of the darkness that comes from the sin that's in the world that is a tyrant to its all. As you walk through that, I will be with you. I will be with you. Which translated in the Greek is that beautiful word, Emmanuel. He is with us. And the author of Hebrews picks this up as well. Look in Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise, that's Jesus, partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. But see, you have to be honest to be tempted, right? Because if you say you're not a sinner, if you say you're walking through and you're doing just quite fine, 1 John would tell you, as we say in the confession, we're a liar and the truth's not in us. But if we simply say, I am being tempted. I'm tempted to quit. I'm tempted to despair. I'm tempted to take an easier path. I'm tempted to just jettison that which I know to be true. I'm tempted to just emotionally withdraw. I'm tempted to take a shortcut. If we simply say that, we have the promise of the Word of God that when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. The good word of the gospel is, in the midst of the tyranny of a dictator like sin, we have the true freedom that comes only in Christ Jesus, who is able and willing to set us free. In opposition to dictators who abuse their roles, sometimes we have heroes. And I'd like to quote one who was very instrumental in bringing unity after a time of great divide in our own country. He did, I would argue, more after the Great War between 1861 and 1865 than he did prior. He was so instrumental in bringing about unity. And this Virginian named Robert E. Lee said this in his journal. I tremble for my country when I hear of confidence expressed in me or any other leader. I know too well my weaknesses and sin. I know that our only hope is in God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed be your name throughout the earth, Lord God, for you have created wonders and from the beginning have drawn every living thing into communion with you. In the bounty of your creation, you fashioned land and sea, sun and stars, plants and animals, that we might know the constancy of your love for us. In covenant life, you drew a people to yourself to give and receive love in your name. In the fullness of time, you drew near to us in your Son to bind us to you in the promise of everlasting life. In every time and place, you offer us brothers and sisters with whom to live your ways of forgiveness and grace. In every age, you surround us with a great company of saints, that we might be bound to one another in this world that you so love. And so with the company of earth and heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of holy unity, you are perfectly three and perfectly one. From many, make your people one in you. Sanctify your church around the world and transform our fractures into fruitfulness. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the New Testament, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God, the one Father of us all, you gather us in one faith, one hope, and one baptism. Draw near to your children when their lives are overshadowed by what divides. Where wars have not yet ceased, come quickly. Where hostility tears apart, brothers and sisters, open your path of peace. Where the relationship between your people and your creation falters, renew our awe in the wonders you have made. Where your church's diversity fails to reflect the glorious kaleidoscope of your kingdom, lead us to greater love and wider mercy than we have ever before imagined. Hasten the day when we who share Christ's body will join him in perfect and holy communion, in the everlasting embrace of the Holy Spirit, as you draw all things to yourself, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the programs that I like to watch on television is Perry Mason. And Perry Mason said, and I quote, that there are two people you should never lie to. One is your doctor, and the other is your lawyer. I agree with him. But I would add also, brothers and sisters, we should never lie to our God. For in lying to any of these, we're denying that we have need. And denying that we have need, we won't seek the cure. We'll feel self-satisfied. We'll believe the lie. Our structure of our divine service is set up intentionally and theologically so. We begin together with confession. A general confession where we all come together and confess that we are here because we have need. We are here because we have sinned. We are here because we cannot. And we close our service coming here to this table of healing to receive the medicine for our souls, confessing and believing the promise that while we cannot, He did. And He has, and He does, and He will, both now and forevermore. For I invite you to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He invites all of His children who love Him in sincerity and truth to come to receive His very body and blood.
Thank you.
Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this gift that you have given us, of your love and grace, freely given, freely received in your love. We thank you for that in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Let me mention one more hero before we sing. Young man, brilliant young man, graduated Yale when he was 18, became a professor. He died when he was 21. He came from a long line of clergy on both sides of his family. He died for something he believed in. You may know his name, Nathan Hale. He died at 21, for he was a spy for the Continental Army. And it's told, it may be apocryphal, but it's a great story and a great truth. It's said that upon his being hung by the neck for taking a stand when he was 21, he said, I regret that I only have one life to give for my country. Have you ever felt inadequate? You ever felt like trying to express that which you feel is like emptying the ocean with a thimble? There was another German pastor in the 19th century into the early 20th. He, born in Germany, served in Iowa, and he wrote a song. And we're getting ready to sing a song, but I want these words to set up what we're going to sing. It's a song that praises the love of God, and it's simply entitled, "The Love of God is Greater Far." And the third verse of this hymn says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." The love we come to sing is an infinite love that we're inadequate to express. And that's why we understand the beauty of all saints, because we come together. It's not just you singing. You're singing with all the heavenly host throughout all time and around the world. So when we stand and sing this wonderful hymn, it's not just a quaint thought. It's the literal truth. We are singing, joining our voice with 1,000 voices times 10,000. So let us stand and sing praise to the only God worthy of our praise.
Thank you.
be back at 2 o'clock. I think it'll be well worth your time. And the other instruction is, even though we will be next Sunday recognizing those names, make some special time tomorrow to remember those saints above in your prayers as we join together in this body of grace created for us. Let's hear the benediction of the Lord. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.